Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
909, happy Monday morning to you. I'm Andy Griffin, live here from the Angelica's Mexican Grill Studios on this Monday. Yeah, rainy days and Mondays always. And no, I don't think we need to get down just because it's Monday. It's a sunshiny day. In fact, I actually find Tuesdays often more difficult than Mondays, personally. All right, we're going to start right off the bat and see if you're paying attention. We're going to give away, this is a combo prize, $10 to Angelica's Mexican Grill and $10 to the Donut Run. So breakfast and lunch for you tomorrow, perhaps. If you'll text me right now, text 435-467-5842 and text combo, C-O-M-B-O, text combo to 435-467-5842. The first person to text combo to me gets the $10 each to Donut Run and Angelica's Mexican Grill. I love giving stuff away. I would give stuff away all the time if they would let me. I'd have a big old giant pile of stuff. All right, now let's look at a couple of headlines from today and talk about them a little bit. Yesterday morning, about 3 a.m., so wee hours of the night, a driver got on the freeway. This was just barely outside of the gorge. I guess a rest stop there or something. Anyway, driver got on the freeway just north of Littlefield going the wrong direction. And sadly, within seconds of getting on the freeway in the wrong direction, they hit a semi-truck head-on. They were killed. The driver, the semi-truck driver, wasn't doing anything wrong. He just hit somebody head-on. He was not seriously injured, thank goodness. And then it caused a chain reaction crash where somebody hit the back of the semi seconds later. Fortunately, they were not seriously injured either. But, man, what a scary deal. So yesterday morning, took my sister to the airport, sister-in-law, I should say, to the airport. She was flying back to Salt Lake after spending the weekend down here. And we're coming back on SR-7. And there's a point on SR-7 where you come from the airport and then you're on the road and it kind of starts, kind of merges onto SR-7 and you're on your way. Well, the road divides, and it looks like, if at first glance, and I'm not going to lie, I saw this myself, and I'm like, at first glance, it looked like, okay, maybe you go left if you want to get on the freeway and right if you want to get off the state, the SR-7. But it, in fact, is that's where the traffic divides directions, and if you go into the left lane, you're actually going the wrong way. And there's arrows on the road, and then before you get fully onto that road, there's do not enter signs. So I'm driving along behind somebody, and they go left, and I go right. And as they go left, I think maybe 5 seconds into it, they realize, oh, crap, we just went the wrong direction. They were able to kind of get stopped, pull off into the median, and then get over to the right part of the road. But had there been someone coming the opposite direction, there wasn't, thank goodness. There was a car about maybe 30 seconds later that came that way. But had there been someone coming at that exact moment, there would have been a real problem. And maybe, now it was daylight, maybe they see him sooner and they're able to avoid a crash. But I was that close to seeing a wrong way crash myself. And it was kind of sobering for a couple of things. Number one, you never want to see that. And you're just, my wife was yelling at them, even though they couldn't hear her in my truck. Hey, no, wrong way. But honestly, the way the road divided there, some people are going to criticize me for this, but I think it's a little confusing. I didn't do it, but I could see someone doing it, going the wrong way for just a few seconds. And if the moment is wrong, if it's middle of the night, or if you're the person, there's a car coming the other way and didn't see you right away, it could end in tragedy. So anyway, gratefully, they were able to get over onto the correct side of the road and keep it all from being a mess. But man, oh man, that was a little bit scary, especially knowing that I didn't know it at the time. But as the day developed, I heard about the wrong way crash on the interstate earlier in the morning. I was like, oh man, that is brutal. By the way, nobody texted yet on that breakfast lunch combo. I'm surprised, actually, because I know a lot of you are listening, probably figured you had no chance to get it, but you do have a chance to get it. Text me right now, 435-467-5842. Text the word combo, C-O-N-B-O, and I'll give you $10 to the Donut Run and $10 to Angelica's Mexican Grill, so lunch and breakfast and lunch tomorrow, perhaps. Text me again, 435-467-5842, if you want to win that prize. By the way, I went to Donut Run, and now some people have texted, so... Maybe I just spoke too soon. I went to Donut Run, and I think $10 will get you 5 donuts. Now, I didn't delve into the kolaches and some of the other cool stuff they have, but I think $10 is exactly 5 donuts. So just for the record. I'm not saying buy 5 if you're by yourself and eating them all. Don't do that. But if you have a couple of friends, maybe you buy 5, everybody gets a donut and a half, or maybe you have 4 friends and each of you gets a donut each, or... At least 2 friends, and you can get 2.5 each. Don't eat all 5 yourself. I'm just saying. Tyler Robinson, I think this is interesting. So Tyler Robinson is a guy that, by all accounts, seems to be the man that acted in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. He is, and you can ask, I'll bet you could ask 10 different people, did Tyler Robinson act alone? And I'll bet 8 of them would say no. I am actually one of the two. I think he did act alone. I think this was, decision was his and his alone. I don't think there's a conspiracy there. I don't think anybody paid him. I think this is something, disenfranchised young man decided he was going to act on his own. That's what I believe. But anyway, his lawyers have said, listen, we need to ban all cameras from the courtroom, both still cameras and video cameras. And their reasoning is this. So when he appeared for the pretrial hearing, you've seen the pictures of him, you know, in the flak jacket and all that stuff. A lot of those pictures and videos were doctored or changed or made up. Some of them had him crying. He was not crying. A video showed him with a courtroom outburst. That wasn't him. It was all AI deep fake stuff. So anyway, Robinson's lawyers say no cameras. The judge has yet to rule on this. I don't think that would stop it. Is the problem? So just let it go. There needs to be cameras there, and we just need to be mindful as a public that. And I tell my wife this all the time. Look, you've got every day, everything nowadays. You've got to look at it with a skeptic's eye, whether you read a story. And she talked to me about a story she read this weekend that was pretty much not true. Or see a video. Yeah, AI is getting really good at making videos that are not real. You got to look at it with a skeptic's eye and decide using other evidence whether or not that is true. And I know that's a frustrating way to do things nowadays, but that's reality. You can't just believe everything you see and hear anymore. You just can't. All right, couple of other headlines. A 58-year-old man passed away yesterday while rappelling Pine Creek Canyon in Zion National Park. Apparently the rappelling equipment failed on him, and he fell to his death. Sad deal there. I've never, some of you are going to be like, what? I've never been rappelling. And I'm not a big chicken. So, are you a big chicken? Well, okay. If big chicken means I don't want to die, then yes, I guess I am a big chicken. I don't know. I do other stuff that, you know, maybe you wouldn't do, but rappelling never interested in me. I'm not afraid of flying. I'm not afraid of short heights, like from the roof, but I'm not good with those medium heights, so, you know, 90 feet, those types. Nah, I just assume not. There doesn't appear to me to be enough pleasure derived from that to make the risk worth it. That's in my opinion. On the other hand, I rode a motorcycle for a long, long time, decades. I rode a motorcycle during the course of my lifetime. A lot of you said I'd never get on a motorcycle. Well, I don't blame you, you know, but I did, and I would again if I was allowed to. The doctor has told me I'm not allowed to anymore because of my balance issues. But and yesterday, a man died. No, it was Saturday. A man died in Cedar City in a motorcycle crash. They don't believe any other vehicle was involved, that he was just going too fast. Was he wearing a helmet? Yes, sort of. It wasn't strapped up, and it came off during the crash. Responding officers found the rider unresponsive with significant injuries. He had had a helmet on, but it came off during the crash. They say speed was the biggest, it seemed to be the biggest factor. Sad deal there. Just a plug for this show later this week. A lot of people have called me and say, hey, who do you think? Tell me about these candidates and stuff. And I told them, you know, people ask me, I'm going to answer them. But I also told them this. Look, Wednesday on this show, in this time slot, Jimmy Hughes and Michelle Randall will both be on the air. Not at the same time. First half will be Jimmy. Second half will be Michelle. And then Thursday, right here, during this time slot, Jamie Levitt, Greg Aldred, Natalie Larson, and Michelle Tanner will all be on this show. So if you live in St. George, and more than half of you, well, about half of you that listen to this show live in St. George. If you live in St. George, listen to Wednesday and Thursday's shows. We're going to have all the candidates for mayor and for city council on the program. I'm looking forward to it. All the candidates have been very gracious. They've actually thanked me for having them on. I'm like thanking them. Thanks for coming. They're like, no, thank you for promoting it. So if you haven't turned your ballot in, key listening, must listen Wednesday and Thursday here on the Andy Griffin Show. So yeah, listen in. All right, I've got a little treat for you. I'm not going to lie. I have become a Charlie Kirk addict ever since he was assassinated. I'm going to be honest, I didn't really listen to him much before then. But ever since he's been assassinated, a lot of stuff has been brought to light about his message. And I love this. I love this guy and the way he was able to, in a kind way, I don't know if kind is the right word, in a empathetic way, to answer people's questions. People would, oh man, some of the questions and the ways they approach the guy with the bullhorn is the one that sticks out, but a lot of them just coming and calling him names and telling him he's an idiot and doing that, calling him a fascist, et cetera, et cetera. And Charlie, he's let anybody take the mic. Here, he spends a couple of minutes talking about illegal immigrants in the state, in the United States. And I love the way he frames this. If you maybe been wondering yourself, what's the big deal letting illegal immigrants in? Listen to what Charlie Kirk had to say here.
According to the way that the asylum laws are written, the entire nation of Mexico applies under asylum. Do you think that you have a right to immigrate to America? Is diversity and inclusion really an American ideal? Are you okay with deporting every illegal person that's here? Do you think that the American government should first have an obligation to citizens before foreigners? Nobody is asking these questions. We're just saying, if you want to come in, you can come in. Do you see anything wrong with, I don't know, taking in 5% of the population of Haiti? If someone comes into your dorm room uninvited and they do the dishes and laundry, they can stay?
If I'm not going to do my own dishes, heck yeah. Hi.
Wow. If someone comes into
you. Hi. I'm going to start off by saying I'm a political science student. I'm a second year here at K-State. And I'm a first-generation student.
Try to turn it up a little bit.
Yeah,
perfect. Great. Thank you. And what's your name again?
Alondra.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. So I just had a question, because you talk a lot about, like, protecting and securing our southern borders. But as the granddaughter of immigrants, I think that we get into a lot of complicated disputes with the idea that immigrants are criminals or drug dealers and things like that. So I just want to hear what your opinion is on those expectations or those, what do you call it, those stereotypes that are put on Hispanic communities, Latino communities, and
right
how
there,
they
she's
change the way
saying,
people perceive
well, I'm going to let Charlie answer.
Charlie? Sure. So thank you for the question. So you said you're the first-generation student or first-generation American?
I'm a first-generation student.
Cool, great. Second-generation American? Did I hear that right?
Third-generation American on my mom's side.
Great.
Second on my dad's.
When your grandparents then, is that right,
yes,
came to this country, did they do so through the legal process that was in front of them?
So my father got married to my mother. So he's a legal resident of the United States. She's been here her entire life.
But did she enter legally?
She did. She's born here. Yeah.
Got it.
My grandpa on my dad's side entered in illegally.
Okay. So I'm not here to like insult your grandpa, right? But we must be very clear that the type of immigration that we support is when you follow our rules and you come on our terms. and that you do not break into a country uninvited and you try to cut.
Can I add something to that? The reason why he left, and a lot of people in Mexico do, is because of the political state, especially in the 70s and 80s.
Okay, now think about this. Charlie answers this in a moment, but what she's saying is they left because Mexico was unpleasant. Well, so is California, so is New York. People are leaving those places too, but instead of, like, legally, you know, moving to another part of Mexico, they said, well, we're going to go to America because America will give us, food stamps and jobs. I don't know. To me, her whole argument, she tries to trap Charlie, and he doesn't fall for it. He's like, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to let you say that it's okay because of. There is no because of. Illegal immigration is illegal immigration. And for Charlie,
totally sympathize. That's not true. It's never the only choice to commit a crime.
Yeah, there we go.
And we should not put up with it. And so it is an insult to other immigrants from Vietnam and Laos and Pakistan that have to wait decades in line to morally equivalate people that come in and just break in. Oh, I have an unstable country. Like half of the world's countries are unstable.
Yeah, but that's why we have the asylum seekers program.
Which is heavily abused, and we're talking two different things. Asylum seekers and walking into the country illegally are similar but different things.
Very, very different. Thank you, Charlie. Yeah, I just, like I said, I've become a Charlie Kirk fan. Addict, almost, is the word, because every chance I get, I wonder what Charlie thinks about this, and I'll go look it up, and it's like, yeah, exactly. I love that. I wonder what Charlie thinks about this. Oh, yeah, no, he's spot on. It's so funny because Charlie Kirk never attended one day of college. Didn't have a college degree, not what you would call an educated man, but he was a smart man. He was a man that was able to think on his feet. Incredible. So if you haven't, it's so simple. You just type in youtube.com on your browser, right, on your phone or your laptop or desktop or whatever, and there are literally hundreds, maybe thousands of clips of Charlie Kirk talking with college students, talking with young people, saying, I mean, his whole thing was prove me wrong, right? He'd say, this is the way it should be, prove me wrong. And they would come and they would try to trick him and they would cuss at him and they would yell at him and they would do all these things. And Charlie, unflappable. He was unflappable. He would answer all questions. And, you know, these people that thought it was okay that killing him would silence his voice. There are people out there still that believe that. The Chicago teacher with mocking the assassination. They're so wrong in that he wasn't silenced. His message now is louder than ever. And that's pretty cool. That is, I think that's really cool. All right, a couple of things that we're going to talk about here on the show in the next little while. By the way, I have announced my retirement, and I will be stepping down. The problem is, I don't know when. Originally, it was supposed to be the end of this week, October 31st. But they are still working on getting someone hired, and so I don't know when my last day is. I hope we can figure that out soon, and I can give you an actual date. I have a whole bunch of guests scheduled over the next few weeks, and I'd like to know, am I going to be here for them? Am I going to train someone else and they're going to be there for them or what? But, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but it's kind of a little bit nerve wracking not knowing when you are done. All right. Again, a couple of things that I want to, maybe spend a little time on, are topics I've visited in the past. One of them is the dignity of work. Accomplishing things. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. I also want to talk about our duty, our responsibility, probably, for making sure people aren't lonely. There's one person in my life that's incredible at making sure nobody's lonely. I've never been great at it, but I'm trying harder. Sad story from last year about a couple in American Fork that died. I don't know what they died of, but it feels like they died of loneliness. Nobody found their bodies for up to 2 months because nobody cared about them. Nobody checked on them. Sad. I don't know how they died, but. And the thing is, they're a couple, so you'd like, well, okay, maybe one of them was taking care of the other one, but and the maybe the caretaker died? I mean, that's what kind of happened in that Gene Hackman thing, right? Yeah, sad story out of American Fork from last year. We'll talk about that some more again and our responsibility of making sure this does not happen. Shame on us, right? We'll talk about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Thanks for tuning into the program this morning. Mark P. won the combo of Donut Run and Angelica's, so he's got lunch and breakfast at lunch tomorrow. Get the donuts around 8, get the Angelica's around 12:30. Yeah, life is good. Nice. All right, so the other day, this interesting image showed up on social media. Okay, do you know who Gayle King is? Gayle is a very much left-leaning CBS TV personality. And I'm sure you know who Fox News' Jesse Waters is, right? So they sat next to each other, just by chance, got seated next to each other on an airplane. So Gayle posts a picture on social media with them, kind of their arms around each other and smiling, right? Apparently, they had a good time, sat, you know, on an airplane for about 4 hours together, and amazingly, didn't come to blows. They didn't fight. They didn't yell at each other. They weren't. And so, it was a funny photo, right? An interesting photo. It was a photo that was taken in good fun. It was two people, mature adults, who said, "All right, we don't agree on much politically, but we can sit and chill and talk and spend a few hours together." And they put it up on social media, said, "Hey, we can get along. It's fine." Well, guess what happened? Well, you already know what happened. Social media went hog wild. "How could you stand to sit by that person? I hate that person. Just you sitting there is revealing about your character and how evil you are because you could put up with that." And it was unbelievable that people freaked out so badly. In a story by Annie Holmquist on Intellectual Takeout, which is my favorite website, I think, intellectualtakeout.org, she talks about that outrage and how revealing it is about we the people. Who would have thought even a decade ago, this is Annie, even a decade ago, that people would be so upset by a simple, straightforward, friendly association with someone who shares a different opinion? Truly, it's no wonder that so many say our nation is on the brink of civil war, ready to split into red and blue states because they can no longer stand someone who holds opposing values and political views. How did we get to such a state where we're angry when two people with opposing views can get along and enjoy each other's company for a few hours? I'm here to tell you that's messed up, that people can't fathom that. And I'm gonna tell you something that I've never said on the air before. I always talk about a relative of mine who is quite left-leaning, but I never reveal what relative that is. And I will tell you right now, it was my sister. My sister and I, she's 5 years younger than me. We don't get along about much as far as politically. The only non-left thingy that she the only left-leaning thing that she is against is abortion, which would, to her credit, incredible that she is anti-abortion like I am. But pretty much everything else, she hates Donald Trump. She hates everything about modern conservatism. She actually posted something, I'm not going to say condoning what happened to Charlie Kirk, but certainly not condemning it. And we have a lot of reasons not to get along. But guess what? we get along. Because we don't talk about politics when we're together. I don't bring up Trump. She doesn't bring up Kamala. I don't bring up capitalism. She doesn't bring up socialism. I don't bring up weather cycles, and she doesn't bring up what she perceives as man-made weather change, climate change. I saw her this weekend. Guess what? Did we fight? No. Did we smile and hug? Yeah. It was not a big deal. Now, there was a time in my life, actually way before all this kind of really hot political contempt that is out there right now, where we didn't get along. But it was, a lot of it was both of us, me, yes, I'm at fault too, but also her, not being able to keep our mouths shut and erupting into, you know, the moments erupting into arguments and disagreements and disappointment in each other. But we both matured. I'd like to think I've learned a lot over the years. Thanks to my good wife, mostly, I've learned that, look, it's easy to get along with someone that you disagree with politically if you don't talk politics. You celebrate the things that you have in common. I mean, the very fact that we're brother and sister, the very fact that we have the same parents, the very fact that we have the same siblings. We can ask about each other's grandkids. We can ask about each other's jobs. We can ask about each other's well-being without having to wade into the stuff that produces the venom and anger on both of our sides. I cannot possibly understand some of the things that she believes. And she probably can't understand some of the things I believe. But we don't have to, right? I mean, that's not a rule, a law. So you have to agree with everything or I won't be your friend. It's starting to become a rule, but I think it's a terrible rule. I have a guest on this show occasionally, and she is very much left of center. Do we talk politics when she comes on? Nope. We talk other stuff. Do we get along outside of the show? Yeah, we do, actually. I've had dinner at her house. She's had dinner at my house. That's cool. So I guess what I'm saying and what Annie Holmquist is saying in this article is it's okay to disagree. And to quote, I've never been a huge fan of our current governor, Spencer Cox, but he said, we need to learn how to disagree better. He's right. We need to learn how to disagree better. You cannot, whether it's your child, your a sibling, your parents, acquaintances, you can't just X them, put a big X through them out of your life. You just can't expel them from your life just because they don't agree with how you believe things are. I have a couple of my children who politically don't agree with a lot of the stuff that I really, really hold dear. But guess what? I love them. They're my kids. And I don't want to expel them from my lives. And I don't want them to expel me from their lives. So, anyway. Finally, a quote. This is from English philosopher Roger Scruton. He says, what makes it possible for people to agree to disagree? In families, people often get together to discuss matters of shared concern. There will be many opinions, conflicting counsels, and even factions. But in a happy family, everyone will accept to be bound by the final decision, even if they disagree with it. They have a shared investment in staying together. Something is more important to all of them than their own opinion, and that is the family, the thing whose welfare and future they have come together to discuss. My mom always used to say to me, and I miss her dearly, she always used to say, blood is thicker than water. She said, being loyal, being faithful to your family, it supersedes everything else. The same is true in politics. Opposition, the free expression of dissent, and the rule of compromise all presuppose a shared identity. There has to be a first-person plural, a we, we're all Americans, by the way. If the many of individuals are to stay together, accepting each other's opinions and desires, regardless of disagreements, there must be a we. We are Americans. You don't like Donald Trump? He's the president right now. I didn't like Joe Biden. but he was the president. I didn't like Barack Obama, but he was the president. You probably didn't like, you know, if you don't like Trump, you probably didn't like George W. I think everybody liked Reagan, but that's a whole different animal anyway. So, gosh, again, I'm quoting Spencer Cox, but let's disagree better. We can do it. All right, got to pay some bills. The topic du jour coming up and after the break, the dignity of work. I've talked about this in the past. What it feels to accomplish something. I'm a list guy. I used to be, anyway. I was a list guy. And what I would make a list. So I'd come to work, right? And during the course of my day, obviously I have the on-air stuff, but I have a whole bunch of off-air stuff I have to accomplish too. And I would make a list during the course of the on-the-air part of the things I had to accomplish after I got off the air. List would be sometimes three things, sometimes five, sometimes 12. It was, you know, dependent on the day. But that list was important to me because when I would do something on the list, even if it was something simple, you know, edit your podcast and post it. Took, you know, half an hour. But then I got to check it off. And the feeling I got of being able to check it off. And then to look online and say, hey, the podcast is online. It's ready to be listened to. And people are listening to it. I had a podcast the other day where hundreds listened to it. Don't know why. It wasn't an especially great one. It was just a podcast. But anyway, the dignity of work is a real thing. We'll talk about that and how to cure loneliness when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
949 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Thanks for tuning in. All right, a couple of texts. Keith, let's see. Did you know that I read an article yesterday that says State of Utah issues CDL driver's licenses to illegal aliens? I did not know that. I hope that's not true. If it is true, what the heck? I mean, all it takes is one viral video of that illegal guy making a U-turn on the freeway and killing a family. It's, come on. Let's see. Jerry says, I'm going to miss your voice on the radio. Thank you for your good work and years of service. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. Very kind. Roy says, that divided highway by Desert Canyon and the airport exit is mind-blowing that St. George City and the state have not fixed that problem after all the wrong-way crashes we have had around here. I am 100% in agreement with you there, Roy. It is confusing. Milt says, we listened to your travel show Friday, and it was fun to remember places we visited on our cruise from Rome to Venice, Santorini, Mykonos, Greece, and Turkey. That is my, if you didn't hear the travel show on Friday, that's a bucket list place for me. I want to go to Greece, the Grecian islands. Pretty excited about that. All right, here's a text talking about, I think, I don't have a name, darn it. Talking about that piece of space, whatever, I think they're calling it a comet or, I don't know, an unexplained, and I'm going to look into it. It's called the Atlas something or other. Let me see if I can find the correct name. 3I Atlas. Orbit remains unchanged. Well, we're going to look into that today and hopefully talk about it later on in the week. Did I get all my texts here? I think that's all of them. Again, Mark was your winner of the breakfast lunch combo. We'll give away another one of those tomorrow on the show. All right, Paul Rosenberg, who runs a website called Free Man's Perspective, another one of my favorite spots to visit because they tend to tell things like they are. Anyway, he wrote about a time. So he was at a conference, and he said, while he was one night, he was sitting there outside waiting for the conference to close down. He said, I noticed that workers had begun preparing the first floor for an evening event. I had a panoramic view from where I stood at the second floor balcony, and what I saw has stuck with me ever since. What I saw was a lone man setting up tables and chairs, simple work the kind a teenager could do, but what I watched this man do was every bit as beautiful as a dance. He moved with integrity, with precision, and with intent. He carefully spaced the tables in a precise geometry. He moved every chair with efficiency. This was more than just work. It was art. This man knew that he was doing his job well, and perhaps most importantly, he enjoyed it, doing it well. I was transfixed by it all, and I stood there until the guards asked me to leave, and even then I moved very slowly until I lost sight of him. There is real beauty in doing a job well, even a simple job. I'm going to read that again. There is real beauty in doing a job well, even a simple job. It is our great loss that this form of beauty has never been mentioned in public these days. Double sad, because at one time such beauty was acknowledged. Now think about that for just a minute. There is beauty in doing a job well. Think about the simple things that you do. All right? Making your bed. Do you make your bed in the morning? Some do, some don't. Some, you know, maybe your wife does it for you, or maybe, you know, one of the things I'm going to be, it's going to be an interesting part of retirement. I will sleep later than my wife. She's an early, early bird, always. So she'll get up at 5, I'll get up at 7, probably when we're retired. Well, I'm the last one out of the bed. Guess who has to make the bed? That's me. Right? Even now, so like on weekends and the days I've had off where I've been in bed longer than my wife, I'll make the bed. And I didn't grow up a bed maker. You ask my parents, when I was a teenager, I never, never made my bed. But I can tell you now that I've been making the bed. I get up and when I walk through that room throughout the day, I'm like, hey, that bed looks pretty good. I did that. Stupid, simple thing, but it's a sense of pride. Right? As many of you know, I love to smoke meat. I've got my Yoder smoker out in the backyard, and it's a stupid thing. But nothing, I don't know, there's not much in this world that gives me greater pleasure than smoking some ribs or brisket or whatever it is. I like to do turkey tenderloin. Those are so good. Anyway, and then having people come and sit and enjoy my food. I don't need them to say anything. They usually do, anyway, because they're nice. But I don't need them to say anything. All I need to do is watch them eat. And if they enjoy it, they keep eating it, right? I had it's been 2 years now. Man. Anyway, my niece and her husband used to come over. They were going to SUU. And they used to come over about maybe once a month and swim in our little pool in the backyard, and I would smoke some kind of meat. And you're like, well, you would smoke meat for this guy's, you're the husband of your niece? That's weird. And I love to smoke. And this guy, his name was John. John would rave over the food that I made for him. Oh, this is so good. This is butter. You're the greatest. And of course, he knew how to stroke my ego because he knew I was going to make him meat next time too. But John didn't just blow smoke at me. He would then proceed to, now, and we're talking about a 23, 24, 25 year old guy, right? He would then proceed to, he must have had a hollow leg, but he could pack it away. He put his money where his mouth was. He would eat and eat and eat, and he loved my smoked meat. And like I said, it was not that hard of work for me, but for me, it made me want to smoke for him next time, because I just knew he appreciated it. It was a job that I got good at, and he appreciated it, and so I wanted to keep doing it. Made me feel good. It was the value of work, the dignity, the beauty of doing a job well. All right, I teased it earlier, so I do want to get to it before we leave. And that's about this older couple in American Fork. It was last year. They were found dead in separate rooms. Here's the news item. Authorities have ruled the deaths of an elderly American Fork couple whose bodies were found in their home this year as undetermined. In January, police were called to, this is a year ago, in January, police were called to do a welfare check at the home of Sally and Dwayne Frankham, both 84. Once inside, officers found them dead in separate rooms. Investigators say there was no evidence of trauma or anything else that would have caused their deaths, such as carbon monoxide poisoning. American Fork police say the case is closed and the investigation has stopped. In other words, no one knows why they died. They're not sure how they died, except there was no trauma, and they're closing the book on the case forever. What makes the story even more sad is the fact that nobody thought to check on the older couple for more than a month. Actually, it was several, I think it was 5.5 weeks that nobody checked on them. Did they not have kids or grandkids? Were they members of their church? Did they have any friends or loved ones that wondered about them? Apparently not. And we should take that as a lesson. According to statistics compiled by Gallup, 1 in 4 adults feels lonely often. More than half people surveyed admitted to feeling lonely at least occasionally. The Surgeon General says its loneliness and isolation represent profound threats to our health and well-being. So I'm going to propose to you, number one, reach out to those who are in your neighborhood who might be lonely. You know, given a half an hour to let the old guy next door talk to you about how what he used to do when he was a pilot back in the day or whatever, it's not that hard. And it will make, it might just save a life. My wife is so fantastic about finding the lonely and reaching out to them and giving her time and service to them. I don't know how she does it, but I want to be like her. It's incredible. There's a cool website called Love for Our Elders that is just one of many charities out there trying to make a difference, with their idea being to write letters to the lonely. Imagine you, these people go to the mailbox every day, people that are lonely, looking for something, hoping for something. Imagine they get a letter from you. How cool would that be? Maybe the Frankum just expired of natural causes, whatever that means. Or maybe, just maybe, they died of loneliness. We'll never know. They've closed the case, but maybe we can keep it from happening again in our neck of the woods. Again, it's not that hard. Reach out to somebody that you think might be lonely. Give of yourself, and you'll find when you give of yourself just a few minutes, you actually feel better about yourself. They feel better, and you feel better. It's not about religion. It's not about any of that. It's just about feeling better. If you want to feel better, you want to feel good inside. I know it seems stupid, but it really does work. Serve someone else. It works. Man, we've run out of time. Again, later on this week, Wednesday, the mayor candidates. Randall and Hughes on. Thursday, the city council candidates. Levitt, Aldred, Larson, and Tanner are all on. Please join me tomorrow. Chief of Police Kyle Whitehead will be on with me here on the Andy Griffin Show. Thank you so much for listening today.